We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Plenty of times this season, we've watched Michigan men's basketball earn a resounding victory by, most notably, slowing down a team's biggest strength. But no strength, maybe in all of college basketball, resonates more with a program than Iowa and its offensive attack. Iowa and its offense in the last few years is as ingrained with that program as defense is at Virginia, as the 2-3 zone is at Syracuse, as one-and-dones are at Kentucky. And Michigan neutralized. Now, Michigan overwhelmed that Iowa offense. Just some of the stats, the numbers, the firsts. Iowa's low watermark for points and a half this season coming into the game was 31. After the first half, their new low was 29. Then 20 game minutes later, their new low was 28. The Hawkeyes led college basketball in assists per game, almost 20 a contest. They had 4 on 21 made field goals. Luka Garza posted his third worst field goal percentage of the season, after he had put up 77 total points against the Wolverines in 2 games last year, including his most recent trip to Chrysler Center when he put up 44, the most ever by an opposing player in this building's history. The Hawkeyes shot 50% from deep in their previous 4 games, a 4-game win streak that had thrust them right back into the Big Ten hunt after a 1-4 stretch. Well, on Thursday, Iowa was 6 of 19 from the long line. That's 32%. And if you just boil it down to points per game, Iowa came in 86.4 a night, top 5 nationally. Yeah, they left Ann Arbor 29.4 points short of that. There are plenty of others. Just search Twitter, Michigan, Iowa. I'm sure you can find them. But you get the point, right? There have been plenty of landmark achievements, victories, performances for this Michigan team so far this season. And beating Iowa, yeah, it's a great win, but you know, getting the victory on Thursday was not as improbable as the just off the 23-day pause win at Wisconsin with a 12-point halftime deficit, or as heart-stopping necessarily as that incredible game on Sunday in Columbus. But the way it happened, it was as impressive as Sunday's win was exciting. It was as eyebrow-raising as that win against the Badgers. And it'll probably be unlike any Iowa game this season. Michigan turned Iowa into a laboring, struggling offense. Michigan boasts plenty of strengths, plenty of things that jump off the page. But the Wolverines, maybe more impressively, can turn opponents' strengths into weaknesses, and that is the sign of an incredible basketball team. Let's break down Thursday's resounding victory with the head coach, Juwan Howard, with the leading scorer, Franz Wagner, and with the national champ, Terry Mills, here on Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
A few more observations before we get into Terry Mills, Franz Wagner, and Juwan Howard. Let's start with Franz, the leading scorer in the game, 21 points, 9 of 12 from the floor. Hard to believe that 21 is one shy of his career high. I mean, he's got the ability to go off for 25-plus. Just hasn't all fully come together, but this was as close as you're going to find. And what I really admire about Franz and what he brings to the table, we all had heard and then we saw last season when he was a freshman that he's wise beyond his years. He's very analytical. He utilizes film study really well. And you felt like as you were watching that game and reflecting on the game on Sunday at Ohio State that there were some opportunities, some plays, some moments that Franz could have had back against the Buckeyes. And we'll talk about that with him and talk about it with Coach Howard as well. For him to so quickly adjust, adapt, improve, and churn out that type of a performance, it just goes to show you what upside this young man possesses, what intelligence he has, the way that he can analyze a game and a performance and almost immediately flip the switch and improve on those things. He's far from a finished product. I can't wait to see what Franz will be like at the peak of his powers, both collegiately and then in the NBA. But what he delivered in this ball game was outstanding. He was a force on both ends of the floor. And in a game that featured a ton of supreme offensive talent, it's Franz Wagner, a two-way player who was easily the best offensive threat on the floor. The reason why Luka Garza, who normally is the best offensive threat on the floor, wasn't that on Thursday night was a great Michigan defensive effort, and it was buoyed by Hunter Dickinson. And there's plenty to talk about in terms of Hunter's performance defensively, but to me, the thing that was really noteworthy was how he defended once he got that third foul. It came early in that second half. Michigan certainly didn't trust him to play the rest of the game with it. He's not going to be a 30-plus minute scorer most nights this season anyways, but he was able to defend without fouling in several instances after that. The second foul was the one he really wished he could have had back. It was a late help defensive play, and he bumped Jordan Bohannon after he had gotten off a shot. It was inconsequential to the play. The other two were against Garza. You're going to have that happen. Garza came in averaging 7 fouls per 40 minutes. But after that third foul, which came early in the second half, Dickinson did a great job keeping the hands up, still making things difficult. And, you know, Dickinson's box score isn't overwhelming, 14-8. We've seen that from him plenty this season. But his box score from this performance on Thursday night was Luka Garza's, 16 points, 6 of 19 from the floor. What he did was great. I also thought Austin Davis deserved a better fate. The 3 fouls he got, 2 of them were, they were tough. I wonder if he had a bigger reputation, more notoriety in the league, if a couple of those would have been whistled. Regardless, you know, Austin, I thought he held his own in those situations. That tip-up that Austin had in the tail end of the first half, basically at the buzzer, was a nice little momentum shift for Michigan to go up by 3 instead of getting to that halftime whistle after Iowa had just made a really tough three-point make, but a three-pointer by C.J. Frederick. Lastly, Big Ten standings. Michigan knows now what it needs to do. You win twice over the last 4. You're a Big Ten regular season champion based on win percentage. So if Michigan takes care of business against Indiana coming up on Saturday, then they will face the team that's number 2 in the league, the Fighting Illini of Illinois, a team that certainly has, you know, there have been some fans that have chirped about it on social media about Michigan not being able to play that game when it happened, not getting to 20 games. If you can knock off Illinois and win the Big Ten championship in the same day, one fell swoop, it'd be great. Got to take care of business on Saturday, of course, but that is out there as a possibility. And then to quote-unquote in the standings, meaningless games against Michigan State. Those won't be meaningless at all. Michigan wins over Iowa, dominant fashion down the stretch in the second half. I mean, it was incredible. Second half, Michigan outscores Iowa 47-28. First top 10 matchup between these two programs since 1989. A man who was a part of that, who had the putback at the end of regulation to send that game to overtime. Michigan would end up winning it in double OT in Iowa City. Terry Mills, who said that was a little foggy, we talked about it in pregame, didn't quite remember a whole lot from that game. He took my word for it. And heck yeah, if I tell you, had a tip in to lead to eventually a double overtime win, darn right you better just take that and run with it. Here's Terry Mills on Michigan's win over the Hawkeyes on Thursday.
Four assists for a team that averages almost 20. Leads the nation. Terry Mills, one of the many stats you look at. This is the worst offensive performance Iowa's had since 2019. Just an incredible effort by this ball club.
Yeah, and what that shows is that Michigan's defense all of a sudden made Iowa start playing one-on-one basketball to even try to get shots off, because Michigan was just smothering them. I'm talking about trusting the game plan and following through with it. That's exactly what the Michigan Wolverines did here today.
Yeah, Iowa just 36% from the floor. They were 6 of 19 from deep. They had been shooting 50% from the long line during their four-game win streak. And then in the second half, I mean, it was just more of the same. I mean, this game was a defensive struggle in the first half. The only difference in the second half was Michigan's offense got going.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at another stat that stands out is Michigan with only 7 turnovers. I mean, what did they have, 6 at the half? I mean, that was a big turnaround there. So taking care of that basketball, and then the last thing you want to do is give Iowa extra possessions by turning the ball over, because they're a team that wants to run that score up. So don't give them extra possessions.
Yeah, confirming. Just 1 second half turnover. Michigan averaging fewer than 8 turnovers a game since returning from that 23-day gap. Let's give you our efficient performance of the game powered by DTE Energy. Franz Wagner had his second lowest field goal attempt total of his Michigan career on Sunday at Ohio State. Just 4 attempts. Here today, he was brilliant. 9 of 12, 21 points. It just seemed like he was assertive when he needed to be, passive when he needed to be. He was in control, netting 1 shy of his career high.
Yeah, I didn't see any hesitation. You know, against Ohio State, I thought that, you know, he had some opportunities to shoot the basketball, and he elected to go with a pump fake and try to get in the lane. I mean, this right here was something special. I mean, this is what everyone has been talking about Franz Wagner being able to mix it up, put it on the deck. I'm starting to see everything everybody was talking about right now.
So Franz Wagner delivering our efficient performance of the game powered by DTE Energy. If you want to learn how to be efficient at home like the Wolverines, go to DTEinteractiveHome.com to find out how. Want to mention Hunter Dickinson, 14 points, 8 rebounds. He's had bigger box scores. He only played 23 minutes. Did have to battle a little bit of foul trouble in this ball game. But if you're asking me, show me Hunter Dickinson's box score, I'm not showing you his. I'm showing you Luka Garza's. 16 points, 6 of 19 from the floor. Only the third time Garza was sub 40% this season. This is a team effort. It wasn't all Hunter, but Hunter really led the charge defensively against Luka.
Yes, he did. And anytime you can put a guy one-on-one on Luka Garza and ask him to defend him and do it the way that Hunter Dickinson did, it doesn't allow Iowa to spread those guys out on the three-point line and start knocking down shots. And it was just one-on-one. And like you say, those things don't show up in the box score. But we were here live and in person, and we seen it. He had an impact on this ball game.
I mean, I'm running out of superlatives, Terry. I know you are too. This has been an incredible run.
Yes, it has. I mean, it's all good. I mean, I don't get tired of saying, hey, no. Michigan won. You know, I mean, that's a great thing. That makes my night even better when I go home and can click on ESPN and watch the ticker and say, hey, Michigan won. You know, how about that?
Oh, it's going to be fun reading the clippings, watching the highlights, hearing all the hot takes, because this Michigan basketball team continues to roll as Michigan improves to 17-1 overall, now 12-1 in the Big Ten. One of the many important cogs on this roster, Franz Wagner, 21 points, 4 assists, 2 boards. He was brilliant, and he joined us to talk about it.
Franz, I'm told anytime we introduce you, according to Phil Martelli, we have to say 6'10 Franz Wagner. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's okay. Right.
All right, fair enough. If we get that, we get the exclusive interviews with Franz. We just got to keep saying 6'10, 6'10. Tell me, 6'10 Franz Wagner, How is this team defensively able to do what it did tonight against one of the best offenses in college basketball?
I mean, I think it starts with preparation. Honest Guard team did a phenomenal job again these past 2 days of just preparing us. Iowa moves a lot. They're good shooters around. Obviously worked a lot on Garza ducking in and stuff like that. But I think it started with preparation. And each player individually that played, I think, really locked in on what we wanted to do and what was on the scouting report. And I think that showed today.
Well, Franz, anytime you play the way you played today, I'm going to introduce you as 6'11", Franz Wagner. You were able to mix it up. What did you see on film against Ohio State? Because I kind of felt like you were doing a lot of hesitating, a lot of pump faking on shots that I'm like, I'm holding my hands up like, that's the shot. And then all of a sudden you would pump fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you see on that film that kind of let you do what you did here today?
I mean, I think once you look at the box score after the game, I think I took like 4 shots. I think I got to be a little bit more aggressive with that. But it's not just shooting every 3 that's open. It's more like reading the game. I think I could have taken 1 or 2 more 3s that game. But a lot of times when I shot fake and drove, either had a dump off to Hunter or a good kick out to Mike. I think those are good plays too. You just got to find a good balance, I think. I think you're right that I passed up one too many maybe that game, but it's just part of staying aggressive throughout the game. I think Isaiah did a phenomenal job today of staying the course, and then once the shots fell, it's easy for everybody. So that's something I got to learn, but like you said, I definitely looked at the Ohio State film and kind of saw what I can do better.
Iowa's not just Luka Garza by any stretch, but he leads college basketball in points per game for a reason.
Yeah.
So you were part of those two teams last season, or the two games last season where he scored 77. What was the difference? Damn. How were you able to alter what he was able to do and put up one of his worst shooting nights of the season?
Credit to the big guys, man.
Yeah.
Again, the scout team, Jaren Foles. Man, he's good, man. His hook shot in practice, man. Hunt has nightmares of that hook shot, but no, I think it starts with the scout team again, and I think Hunter and Austin, even though they got 2 early fouls, I think they did a really good job. And then you can't forget Brandon Johns. I think it's very hard to come off the bench and do what he did today. A lot of energy, really was active and talking a lot on defense, and that's something that spills to the other players on the court that maybe have played for 10, 12 minutes straight and that need that kind of energy and motivation. And I think that's why we played so good today, really the bench guys stepping up and coming in with a lot of energy.
Yeah, I thought you guys were really dialed in on taking away that 3-point shot. They got some off in the first half, but you guys were locking down in the second half. Seemed like you guys were really connected on the defensive end.
For sure. I think there's still a lot of possessions where we lost someone, maybe it's in transition or going under a screen and stuff like that, and they just happened to miss some today. So we've got to get better with that. But I think in the second half, Coach was telling us we got to talk a little bit more and communicate a little bit more because that's how you eliminate those easy mistakes. So we definitely did a better job in the second half, but we're going to look at the film tomorrow and then see what we can do better.
Lastly, Franz, I mean, this team is on the cusp of winning a Big Ten championship, but I know you guys have gotten here because of that one game at a time mentality. How does that really get reinforced here over the next, you know, couple of days getting ready for Indiana? And does this busy schedule down the stretch kind of help keep you guys focused?
Yeah, I think. I mean, a lot of these teams we haven't, all of these 3 teams that we're going to play, we haven't played them. So I think it's part of our competitive nature that we want to win every single one of those games. So we're going to come in really focused tomorrow. Locking on a lot of film that the coaches are going to prepare, and then go up to Indiana and try to get a win.
6'10 or 6'11? Man, you keep playing like this, I'll call you 7 foot. I'll raise
it. Hey, he can be taller than Hunter if he wants to. Who cares?
Franz, we appreciate the time, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There is 6'10 Franz Wagner. He stands 6'10". He is 2 inches shy of 7 feet. I love Franz. He's such a fun player to watch, and such a great young man to root for. Juwan Howard, well, he likes him some Franz Wagner. He likes him some Michigan basketball. What they've done as of late has been great under his tutelage. And here's Coach Howard after yet another Wolverines win.
Coach, let's start with your team's defensive effort. This is an Iowa team that came in as one of the top, if not the top teams in college basketball offensively. What was key in slowing them down as much as you did?
Well, activity, multiple effort, energy, and then you can't fall asleep because, you know, this team will make you pay. As soon as you get called ball watching or thinking that, like, you done guarded one action, they will also have a guy coming off a pin down screen, curl into the basket. We also couldn't get caught, you know, when guards was playing, you know, post up versus one of our bigs. Can't get called ball watching doing that because they do a great job of moving without the basketball. So it was a strong emphasis of how we can, you know, really lock in and give a great multiple effort type of energy. And I'm so proud of how our guys really was locked into the details of a scouting report.
Yeah, Coach, it was kind of chippy there in the first half. You were able to take the lead in at halftime. My question to you is, how many times did you tell these guys after that first half, this game is for competitors only?
Great job.
Get that trademarked.
Great job.
Right.
Hey, man, you already know I told them. I lost my voice saying that, man. Okay. I said it before even the game even started, and I also said in halftime, hey, man, it is, though. And that's the Big Ten. Basketball, as we both know, experienced as players, but as this conference is so loaded with talent and very good teams, you know, every possession, Iowa is going to continue to keep competing because they got a great coach and friend who want to make sure of that, the accountability part of it. And the guys were dialed in, man, but our guys, you know, did a fantastic job of staying the course. First half was, you know, wasn't the prettiest. It was more of a defensive game, wasn't making too many shots, but I told our guys that the floodgates was going to open. We just continue to keep guarding and defending. Don't worry about it on the offensive end. The shots are going to fall.
We just talked to Franz, and he said in watching film from Sunday, he left some plays out there. He seemed assertive. He seemed aggressive. He seemed to have a complete control of this game. What did you see different from Franz Sunday versus tonight?
Hey, you know, he told you he left some plays out there in the Ohio State game. You know, it's easy to say that, but Franz did a really good job versus Ohio State, and no reason for him to put his head down and not look at the box score because he didn't have a high-scoring game. There, he was very impactful. Yeah. Now, tonight, you know, he just was aggressive, taking the ball to the basket, reading how the defense was playing him. You saw at times he had smaller perimeter guys that were guarding him. Did a really good job of being patient and backing guys down into the post, getting into the paint and finishing. Did a tremendous job of making outside shots when the opportunity presented itself. But, you know, like I told our guys at one of our timeouts, let's feed the hot hand. And Isaiah, you know, it was more directed towards the team, but also wanted Isaiah to know that, like, there are times where, you know, maybe the ball hasn't came your way and maybe the scoring hasn't showed up with your name underneath it. But if you stay the course, good things are going to happen. And I sprinkle in some plays for him, and he delivered. He sure hell delivered, man. I'm just so proud how our guys stayed the course throughout this game because it was a Big Ten slug fest.
Yes, it was. I thought on offense, I thought your team did a good job at getting to the third and fourth options of a play and actually scoring. And it takes patience to do that, but I seen that, and it just showed growth in your team.
Yes. And the growth part of having a group that is, you know, trusting each other, and that's part of our culture. You know, sometimes, you know, that first option is not going to be there. Okay, let's work the second option. And let's get the ball moving, get the defense working from side to side, and don't feel like we had to settle. And that's the part that I think we did a really good job of not settling.
Lastly, Coach, Brandon Wade got a chance to get out there. His first time with your ball club, he came to Ann Arbor. He said this was home for him. It has been as a person and now as a player. What was it like to see him and the others, but for Brandon, the first time to go out there and get a chance to play here at Chrysler?
Oh, it was great, man. It was great. You know, and I also messed up. I should have put Rico in the game too. Even though Rico has – and I'm not trying to steal Brandon's thunder because you asked about Brandon, but sure. Rico, Brandon Wade, Luke, CJ, Jace, and also Jaron Foles, those guys do a fantastic job in practice of giving to the team, times being a scout team, coming early, learning other team sets, making our guys have to, you know, work because our scout team plays extremely hard. And Adrian Nunez, too. plays extremely hard and preparing our guys, but being so locked into the details of making sure that our guys are being are doing their job when it comes time to game-like situations. And so Brandon, it's just the start of it. He's going to see more action. Trust.
Yeah, you talk about your scout team, and Franz Wagner was just on with us, and he talked about Jaren Foles' impressions imitating Luka Garza, and he was just talking about how good his hook was throughout the scouting report.
Man, Jaren Foles, man, you know, that's why I always have him just make sure that you are locked in and ready, because you never know when your name is called on. You know, there have been times when I've almost called his name to go in the game during times where it's not at the end of the ball game, just because I just trust, you know, because his kid is skilled. He's very skillful, and he also smart.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Rest that voice a little bit. We got a quick turnaround.
Yeah, you're right about that, brother.
All right, take care.
There's head coach Juwan Howe. You as well, Coach.
Before we get out of here, let's relive the very happy highlights from this one. For the full recap, here's our network host, Rob Joyce.
The Wolverines coming in facing its second straight team ranked inside the top 10, Ohio State, rather, back on Sunday in Iowa tonight. Good start to this one. Wolverines score the first handful of points, but at a 7-0 Iowa run to follow, tied the game at 7 at the initial media timeout. Iowa would then get a couple of buckets in quick succession. Michigan, a little slow shooting in the early stages, missing 7 of its first 10 shots, but it would find its footing thanks to who else? Isaiah Livers.
Livers pivots, now works to the left side, whips it to the left wing, and Brooks back to Livers, left wing, contested three over Murray is good, and Michigan's back in front by one. Isaiah Livers, 40th three of the season.
A couple of early threes for Livers kept Michigan hanging around, tying the game as well at 15 midway through the half, and at 17 at the under 8 media timeout in the first. It was the exact opposite of Sunday's game, at least in the early going. Points at a premium. Michigan, a 6-0 run over a few minutes, took a brief 4-point lead. Iowa, though, answering with 6 straight of its own. 4 ties, 6 lead changes in all in that first half. Grinding blue-collar kind of half, and the Wolverines would go into the locker room with a 3-point edge thanks to Big Country.
Near sideline, Eli Brooks to trigger. Out there with Wagner, Smith, Livers, and Davis. Smith gets it at the point. Accelerates to the left elbow. Pulls up. Floats it up. No. A tip in by Davis is good. It counts. And Michigan scores before the halftime buzzer.
Both teams shoot 40%. Wolverines hold the Hawkeyes to a season low 29 points in the half. And it's 32-29 Michigan through 20 minutes. Luka Garza, mind you, in that first half, 7 points, no rebounds, on just 3 of 11 shooting. Then to start the second half, a few more ties and lead changes in the first few minutes, but down by one, a game-changing 7-0 surge for the Maize and Blue will give Michigan its largest lead to date.
Buoyed by Franz Wagner in his 14. He deked McCaffrey. Step back, left wing, 3, good. Michigan up by 6. McCaffrey's hurt.
That capped a 7-0 run to make it 43-37 at the under 16 timeout. In that Connor McCaffrey injury, he had 8 rebounds in 17 minutes. He didn't return. One of a couple injuries for Iowa that really seems like they felt it in that second half. But Michigan up 6, battled some foul trouble themselves. Hunter Dickinson and Austin Davis played with 3 apiece for the duration of the second half, but it worked. Over 3 minutes between Iowa field goals, and that allowed Michigan to extend the lead further.
Wagner on that left wing. Give off a curl to Livers. Works to the free throw line. Splits 2. Still dribbling as he feeds out right corner. Here's Brooks catch and shoot 3. Got it. And Michigan's up by a game high 9. Timeout Iowa and Fran McCaffrey. And there's Juwan Howard giving Isaiah Livers a big old hug after that feed.
That made it 48-39 with 14 minutes to play. Michigan shooting near 60% out of the locker room as the lead ballooned to double digits on a couple of occasions, but a couple of Iowa buckets forced Juwan Howard to call a timeout with about 11 minutes to go and the Wolverines up by 7. And like it so often does, that timeout stopped any chance of a Hawkeye run. In fact, it went the other way for the duration of the game. Michigan off and running, never to be caught. Tonight's Calls of the Game brought to you by the sports medicine experts at Michigan Medicine.
Can't imagine they played with this fivesome very much. Right side McCaffrey, feed it in toward Murray. Livers got his paws in there, deflects to Wagner. 2-on-3, Wagner up ahead, Livers for a two-hand stuff. Oh, what a feed. Wagner to Livers, Michigan by 11, taking advantage of that not often used Iowa lineup.
Franz wouldn't got that one.
Smith rifles left side. Brown for three. Yes! And Michigan's up by 14 all of a sudden. Timeout, Iowa, and Fran McCaffrey.
Tonight's Calls of the Game brought to you by Michigan Medicine. Learn how U of M's sports medicine experts can help you stay in the game at uofmhealth.org/sportsmedicine. 9-0 run out of the timeout extended the lead to 16, 62-46. Michigan at the under 8 timeout. At this point, they had held Iowa scoreless for over 4 minutes. Would the Hawkeyes have one more run of them and get back in it? Michigan made sure it didn't and put this one away for good.
There's no friends.
Left wing livers, cans of three over the freshman Murray, and Michigan's turning this thing into a laugher at 73-54.
The final 7 minutes, the Michigan lead never dipped below 15 at any point. It peaked at 22, and that's your final margin of victory, 79-57. The Wolverines with another emphatic victory. Iowa's two lowest scoring halves of the season come in the same game, 29 points in the first half, 28 in the second, as Michigan wins by 22.
Rob, thank you. Thanks to Terry Mills, to Franz Wagner, to Juwan Howard, and thank you to all of you for tuning in. We encourage you, subscribe, rate, review. We really appreciate that. That does a great deal of help to us to get the word out there, to spread it to more Michigan fans. You can also send us an email, MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. You can send us a text at 734-328-1760. I'm also on Twitter at Brian Bush, Brian with an I, last name B-O-E-S-C-H. Love your feedback. If there's something you want as we get into March, one more game in February, then March is here. We want to try to bring you as much as we can. Also coming up this weekend here on MGo Blue Podcast with John Jansen on the football side, a really awesome new trophy and a great release that came out on Thursday for Michigan football, a rivalry trophy for Michigan and Northwestern. The George Jewett Trophy. Jewett, the first African-American to play football at both Michigan and Northwestern. First ever African-American player in Big Ten history. So when Michigan and Northwestern meet up coming up later this year, that rivalry will now have a trophy, the George Jewett Trophy. And John Jansen will have a couple of great interviews along those lines for you on an In the Trenches episode coming up at some point this weekend. That'll do it for me, Brian Bush. Thank you so much for tuning in. A fun one on Thursday at Chrysler Center, Michigan 79, Iowa 57. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.